Tom Hiddleston talks about his audio recording of Octopussy and the Living Daylights and other stories.
I read Dr. No when I was a child in my mid-teens. I mean, I've been a huge fan of James Bond all my life. Like most people, my first engagement with the character was through the films. And my father was the man who said actually they were based on a series of novels by Ian Fleming and that they were great. And he had a couple of them on his bookshelf, so I thought I'd start at the beginning. I'm not even sure that Dr. No is the first novel that Fleming wrote. In fact, it's not. But because it was the first film, it seemed appropriate to me in my 14-year-old brain, and that's why I should start. But I remember being very surprised by how different in tone the novels were and how they were somehow more dense but also leaner and more serious than the films that I'd seen. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's the perfect thing to read if you're a teenage boy. It's absolutely what you want at that point in your life. I love all the characters that I've read in these three stories are so colourful and rich and have given me huge freedom to inflect them with, you know, different accents and attitudes. I particularly love a couple of characters. I love Major Dexter Smythe in Octopussy. He seems to be a man of such faded, sad past glory that he's sort of withering away in self-destruction. But in his own mind, he's living the high life, and he just seems to me to be a very colourful character, someone who in his mind is very decorated from his time in the military, but actually he's living in a gin palace and is obsessed with fish, and it's all going downhill quite fast. I had lots of fun kind of making him sound very old school and pompous and deceitful and you know, wriggling on the wall of James Bond's line of inquiry. I think what's so wonderful about Octopussy and all the stories, but this one particularly, is it reveals Fleming's passions and his expertise in certain areas. He was obviously a keen swimmer and I think was knew fish and the reef from swimming off Goldeneye in Jamaica. And so I think he's infused all of that knowledge and expertise throughout the story, all stuff of scorpion fish stings and the octopus itself. You can also see it in the story with Hannes Oberhauser. There's a lot of German and German details in there, and you can see Ian's past experience of Germany and speaking German. And I think he, as a writer, gets a little thrill of sort of peppering the book with German names and German places and German terms. And it's fun to read, too. Property of a Lady is the most surprising of the stories to me, because it's, on the face of it, the stakes are quite low for James Bond. It's not life or death, and it seems like a kind of a day in the life. It starts with a very an atmosphere of ennui and boredom, and it's a lazy summer, and no one's got any work to do, and everyone's desperate to do something, and suddenly Bond gets a sniff of a lead, and he chases it. And he's thrilled by it in a quiet way. And I loved that it's very atmospheric and it's so full of detail. And you can feel that Ian Fleming loves writing Bond's curiosity about this world, this world of high art that really James Bond has nothing to do with and would have no particular interest in his personal life. But when the KGB are involved, it seems fun. And you can feel that Ian Fleming obviously knew a lot about this world, but he enjoys kind of revealing it to James Bond as he goes through the story. It was an eye-opener to me in terms of the depth of the character of James Bond, and also Fleming's capacity for evoking our sympathy for him. I like James Bond so much in this story. He's fun. I like his interest. I like his sort of gentle mockery of some of the strange characters he meets in that world. I've never bid. I don't have. I wish I did, but I don't have that kind of money. I've bid at charity auctions to sort of try and help raise the bidding. But I've never been stuck with the final asking price. I think that'd be terrifying. Yeah, it's one of those. Bidding at an auction is one of those things where you'd feel that at any moment the bidding could stop with you, and you have to go home with it and pay the price that you said you pay. But it's very competitive, and my deeply flawed masculine instinct kicks in, and I want to kind of outbid whoever else I'm competing with. But it's folly. It's a terrible idea. So I have to stop myself. I'm not a big fan of Captain Sender. I think he's a job's worth. The Living Daylights I really enjoyed. I mean, all three of them have such different tones and different atmospheres. The Living Daylights, to me, is the coldest. But that doesn't mean to say that it's any less appealing. The Living Daylights is a story that really lays out Bond's pragmatism and his very precise skill level at his job. You get a sense of the man without adornment, without charm. And that's no less interesting. In fact, it's, to my mind, it's more interesting in many ways. Bond in this story is, he has a job to do, which is to kill a man. And to do it after the 3 days have passed, or in the space of 3 days. And what I like about that is the job description is so simple, and his approach to the job is very personal and practical. But in that, in the depiction of the approach, you actually get a window into the soul of the man and this fantasy relationship he has with this this girl in the orchestra. It makes him seem like a very, like, behind all this pragmatism and this lean muscle that he has, is an imagination, a very poetic imagination, and a mind that is cultivated and sophisticated and understands the sensitivity of music and art, and yet he's there with a gun in his hand. The way I find voices is it's completely instinctive. And as far as I know, I've been doing it all my life. It was one of the things I did as a child. I would do impressions. I was a bit like a parrot or one of those birds that can repeat a tune back to you. I don't even know if there is a real bird. So maybe I've read it in a book. But I've always loved the signs that people unconsciously tell you about who they are by the way they speak. And it could be that they are cold people, or they're just withdrawn and reserved people, or they're extrovert or introvert or arrogant or snobbish. It tells you about class and status. And I think if more people were aware of it, they wouldn't speak in the way they spoke. I love changing the way I speak, I suppose. They're huge fun to do.
Octopussy and the Living Daylights and Other Stories by Ian Fleming was read by Tom Hiddleston. It was produced by Lucy Fleming and directed by Enid Williams. The book was first published in 1966.